I've been doing a series on close encounters. Now, for those of you that are my age and older, you remember many, many years ago, there was a movie called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And it was about a spaceship that came down. And if you want to Google it and see some of the pictures, or I thought about even watching it, but, you know, they were all in anticipation of who was going to be on that spaceship. And you know, I don't want to talk to you about a spaceship tonight. I want to talk to you about close encounters with God, because God wants us, the Bible says, to draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto you. And I believe with all of my heart, and you might be thinking, well, Brother Ricky, you know, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the pain I'm enduring. You don't know the problems and issues. But as I preach on these Bible characters, we started out with Adam, then we went to Abraham, and the last time we talked about Moses. And already those three, you could tell, were very much like you and I. They had their problems, they had their mistakes, they had their shortcomings, but all three that I mentioned to you, I promise you, they had close encounters with God Almighty. And the point of this series is this, and if there's ever been a time, this is a late hour, this is an urgent hour, things are not going to get better in America. In the spiritual sense, if ever, every man, woman, boy, and girl, if ever, every preacher, deacon, church member, if ever all of us had a close encounter with God, it is in this hour. Can you say amen tonight? Can you give Him a hand of praise tonight that you and I can have close encounters? I skipped over one in my preaching, so I want you to stand tonight, and we're going to talk about a man who had close encounters with God, and his name was Joseph. Joseph. My father's name was Joseph Earl Nelms. My name is Richard Earl Nelms. If I had ever had a son, he would have been Joseph Earl II. So I want to talk to you. Joseph is a very important and special name. And so turn to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And also Genesis 45 and verse 9. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Just by way of announcement, while you're getting your Bible places there in Genesis, next Sunday is a big day. We have our annual Christmas presentation. My wife is, for some reason, felt led to be crucified with Christ and direct it this year. And I've had to live with her for the last 4 months in agony and despair and depression and misery. I better be careful. I know I'm about to have a close encounter. Oh, my. She said it on Hee Haw, right? But I believe, as it always is, that, you know, these Christmas productions are a great way to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And every one of you that are a part of it, it's not always easy to get it, the practices and all of that. But I promise you, if you'll do your best and let God use you, not for Sister Darnell, not for Pastor Jerry, but for the baby that was wrapped in a manger, I believe that this Christmas program next Sunday can draw people to the Lord and people to our church. Amen. Invite your friends and family. Tell them Sunday morning, Sunday night, two fantastic productions, and I believe, and I'm praying, and I know the Lord is going to move mightily. And with that being said, Wednesday night after church, I need every man to help me clear this stage. God bless you, and the Lord be with you. Amen. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. Amen. I didn't get any amens out of that. Well, thank you, Brother Ray. I count on you there. Amen. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. If you're there, say amen. Let's read it out loud together, because I want this to get into your spirit about a close encounter with God. Genesis 37 and verse 5. Ready? Read. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He had a close encounter with God at a very young age. Now go to Genesis chapter 45 and verse 9, and I want to go all the way to the end of this story. And then we'll kind of tie the pieces together, and we'll encourage you tonight to dream the dream and have a close encounter with God. Genesis chapter 45, verse 9. If you're there, say amen. read it out loud with me, just one verse there. Ready? Read. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Read it out loud, this next part. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down and tarry not. Thank you, Father, for close encounters in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see him, and God bless you tonight. Can we give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight? Amen. Thank you, Father. We bless you. When we think of the story and the life of Joseph, two things immediately grab you. Number one, and this is not main point one, but this is just the introduction point one. There are similarities between Joseph and Jesus our Lord. There is never any mention that Joseph sinned in the scriptures. And never, of course, we know that Jesus sinned. Now, we know that Joseph was human, and certainly he had a sin nature, and certainly he messed up over his life that maybe was not recorded. Not recorded, we know for sure. So we see the similarity in purity. Joseph's father was, Joseph was his father's favorite son. And Jesus is his father's most beloved son. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I will please. Joseph was sent by his father to look for his brothers. And Jesus was sent by his father to seek and to save those who were lost. Judah, listen to this, Joseph's brother, sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Judas, Jesus' disciple, sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What a similarity. Joseph, here's my favorite, was let down into a pit and raised again. Jesus was let down into a pit called the grave, and on the third day was risen again. Joseph became ruler of the world of that day. Jesus one day will rule all the worlds forever and forever and forever. So the first thing we see in Joseph is Jesus. Can we praise God tonight that in his life and in our life, there is nothing that we've experienced, nothing that we have gone through that Jesus our Lord has not gone through. If you've been rejected, he's been rejected. If you've been forgotten, he's been forgotten. If you've been hurt, he's been hurt. And listen to this, one day you will die. Unless the Lord comes in the rapture, you will die. But don't be afraid to cross chilly Jordan, because our Lord has been to the grave and he holds the key of death, hell, and the grave. I'm so glad tonight to know that no matter who I am and what I've done, I can have close encounters with the Lord. I want to point out something too before I get into my main message. And that is that, interestingly, Joseph never performed a miracle like we're used to or accustomed to. We know Elijah did. We know Elisha did. We know that Moses stood before the Red Sea and the Red Sea opened miraculously. We know that disciples did in the shadow of Peter. But you'll never read of a miracle, what we contend to be called a miracle in Joseph's life. He never raised the dead. He never brought signs and wonders. He never spoke in tongues. He never cast out demons. Now, are these things important and are they special? Absolutely. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm not discounting them at all. But I want you to know that as prime minister, although we never read of Joseph performing a supernatural miracle, he contributed to the plan of God, and what he did was just as spiritual. You see, there are so many people today who think that unless you're casting out devils, or unless you're doing a miracle, or unless you're a pastor or a televangelist, that what you're doing is not important. But I've got news for you. God needs some prime ministers and some accountants and some engineers. Thank God for preachers and evangelists, but we need some doctors and lawyers. I want to tell you that my mother was in the hospital this week, and I'm so glad that there were some Christian doctors, people who knew the Lord, Lord. And listen, it was not tongues and interpretation that Joseph led Egypt with. But I promise you, it was old-fashioned math and accounting. But God used it nonetheless. Don't be ashamed to work at Hobby Lobby. Don't be ashamed to pump gas down at Texaco. Don't be ashamed to work at Firestone and make tires. And don't be ashamed to work at Best Buy and sell 4K TVs at special discount price. Because God will put you in places that we'll never go into this church building. God can use you, and you can have a close encounter wherever. Oh, if I could just be at church all day, how spiritual I would be. You would be as spiritual at church as you would be on your job. It's not your surroundings that make you spiritual. It's the inside that makes the outside. And as long as you are before the Lord in your heart, I promise you, you can make a difference. Turn around and tell somebody, you can make a difference. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference. Come on. I'm going to have a close encounter. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be used wherever God puts me. One more time, give Him a hand of praise here tonight. I'm going to make a difference. Three things about Joseph's life. The dream, point one. The nightmare, point two. And the new day, point three. And you'll have to go through the same process. There's first of all the dream. Somebody say the dream. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. Our pastor alluded to it this morning. Genesis 37, 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Oh, God gave him a dream. And I want you to know that God is still giving dreams to His people. As I look across this congregation, I see people who've gotten dreams from God. Dreams of health in their body. Dreams of a fulfilling marriage. Dreams of seeing your family saved. Dreams. I have a dream for this church. I believe our pastor and leaders have dreams for this church. And that's nothing. In fact, if you'll go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, you'll say, well, how spiritual is a dream? I'll tell you how spiritual it is. It was mentioned on the day of Pentecost. Just like speaking in tongues was mentioned. Just like 3,000 souls saved was mentioned. Just like them breaking bread from house to house was mentioned. All of those things were spiritual. But let me tell you what else is spiritual. In Acts 2 and 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And let's read the last one. And your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter if you're old or young, you can prophesy. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, you can dream dreams and see visions. God is still giving dreams. Now listen, when I talk about God giving dreams, I'm not talking about daydreaming. How many of you know there's a big difference between God giving dreams and daydreams? You say, what is the difference? A God-given dream is where you lose your identity and your will to take on His will to do what He has planned for you. Are you with me? Daydreaming is something along lines like this. Oh, if I just win the lottery. Oh, the Powerball is the biggest it's ever been. Don't you hear that talk? Right, you go everywhere and the Powerball's $265 billion. Oh, I'm just dreaming. Here's another dream. Oh, you ladies, this is your dream. Oh, he's got dark hair, brown eyes, and he's got money, honey. That's daydreaming, okay? More than likely, the man that's really going to be your dream man, more than likely, first of all, they're on fire for God, love the Lord, and put the Lord first. And they may not be 5 foot, 6 foot five. They may be 5 foot six, but it doesn't matter. I'd rather have a tall man on his knees than a man that's tall, not on his knees. Can I get a ladies, are you out there? Men, I'm telling you. You better quit daydreaming. I know you're working at work, and I know she winks at her eyes, and I know she's offering to meet me or chat on Facebook. You're just daydreaming. You better be careful about daydreaming. There's a difference between God's dream and a daydream. I want you to know God's dream will bless you. God's dream will break you. God's dream will scare you. God's dream will be impossible, because there is nothing impossible to you, but it will not be impossible to God. Little boy said, Mama, Mama, there's a bear in the yard. It scared mother to death, and she ran to the window and looked out, and there was a little dog in the front yard. She said, Son, you lied to me. go up to your room and tell the Lord what you told me. And don't come down until you talk to the Lord. So the little boy went upstairs, and very soon he was back down at the supper table. Mama said, son, did you tell the Lord what you told me? He said, yes, Mama, I did. Did you tell the Lord that you said there was a bear and it was only a dog? Yes, I did, Mama. She said, well, what did God tell you? He said, Mama, God told me not to feel bad about it. He thought it was a bear too. Some people have vivid imaginations. But let me tell you something. God is a dream giver. And there's some of you that's lost your dream. You've lost your dream because of mistakes, because of failure, because of being fired, because of divorce or disease. I'm here to tell you tonight, lift up your hands. He has given you a dream for tomorrow. He is the dream giver. Come on, I believe he wants to reignite the dream. I don't know if it's to start a business. I don't know if it's a dream of a marriage. Maybe you're single. I don't know if it's a dream. Darnell and I still have a dream to have children one day. And I'm 47 and she's a little bit around that age. But I'm here to tell you, I still dream of a family. God spoke to me in 1998 at the parsonage of the Living Waters Church down the road, 2906 Flowers Drive. Upstairs as a study, and I was sitting at my study and I was reading the scripture, and the Lord just came and said, your wife will be a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, and you will live to see your children's children. I know the Lord gave that to me, and I don't have children yet. So you know what that means? I'm gonna be an old man if I'm gonna live to see my grandchildren at this point. Amen. I know y'all not getting as blessed as I am out of it, but I'm embracing the dream. Hallelujah. Don't, Brother Ray, God got a dream that Sister Judy is coming full back to us. Amen. I got a dream, Brother Ray, up here that Brother Schuyler's coming back. I got a dream that this church is going to be filled and filled again and filled again. And this will be a Pentecostal church where the old time power meets the new time generation. And we make a difference in Wilson and beyond. Has anybody got a dream here tonight? That's a close encounter. I hear the Lord saying, it's time to dream again. Turn around and tell somebody, it's time to dream again. Number one was the dream. And then the second thing we see about Joseph, he went from the dream to the nightmare. Now, this is where you're going to have to just give me a Baptist nod if you can't give me a Pentecostal hallelujah. Amen, brother. Nightmare. On Elm Street. No, I'm just kidding. Nightmare. Now, why did Joseph have a nightmare after he had a dream? Because God tests us. And God takes us through some things before he takes us to some things. I'm going to say that again. I said God takes us through some things before he takes us to some things. That's a whole sermon right there, Pastor. We could do a series on the times in the Bible where God... So you're going here, you're over here, and God takes you through to get you to. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, Joseph made a mistake. He made a mistake. He didn't sin, but he made a mistake. He happened to tell his brothers about the dream. Be very careful who you share your heart with. Be very careful who you put on, what you put on Facebook about your dream. Because I'm going to tell you, the dream gets so exciting. And if you want somebody to pour cold water on it, you just start telling the wrong people. Because we've got people who have what I call fire extinguisher ministry. You know what a fire extinguisher is? You know, it's a very good thing if the building's on fire and like the electrical current gets on fire. And every year we have the man from the fireplace and we have to come out here and check those fire extinguishers. Because when we really have a fire, we need a fire extinguisher. And that thing, it's either on or off. It ain't halfway. You hit that button, that fire's going out, and that's what we wanted to do. Say amen. But there's a bad fire extinguisher. We don't need to be putting a fire extinguisher on the fire God lights in people's hearts. Amen? You know what we need to do? We need to fan the flame. Now, we need to give wisdom, and we need to give guidance. If God's called you to be a missionary to China, and you have three babies at home, and you've got a husband, and you're trying to build a house, it may not be that it's God's will for you to go right now. But it may be God's will for you to go in the future. And so I'm not going to put a fire extinguisher on and tell you it's not God's will. But I'm going to tell you that God has a timing. And I will say this, before the dream comes to pass, there's usually going to be some nightmares that take place. Are y'all with me here tonight? Come on now, you shouted on point number one. I need you to shout on point number two. And Joseph's brothers didn't like it, and so they threw him in a pit. Look at Genesis 37 and 19. They saw him coming, and they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Oh my goodness, that got in my spirit. I pray that when people see Ricky Nims, I pray they whisper to themselves, "He's a dreamer. That dreamer cometh." I want to be so full with God's dream, so full with God's vision, that people say, "There he comes. He's going to talk about it." You know, you get around Pastor Jerry, and that's all he talks about a lot of times, what the dream is in his heart, which is good, not bad. I'm not telling you at all. But if there's ever a man that's had a dream, it's concerned. Folks, you need to have a dream, and people need to know it. And people, the people need to know parts of it, not all of it. Can I get a witness out there? But listen, Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit. How many of you know that's a nightmare? And they even talked about killing him. God never promised when you have close encounters that it would be easy. He never promised it would be easy. But he did promise he would bring it to pass. And at the end, you're going to have a great reward. Can you say amen? You see, there was a palace in the future that Joseph didn't know about. But there was a pit in his immediate future that he had to go through to get to the palace. Are y'all with me here tonight? Look at what happened. Joseph was so... Hey, they pulled him up out of the pit. And they had talked about killing him. But I said, no, let's just sell him into slavery. And the Bible says a band of Ishmaelites came. And so they sold Joseph into slavery. And I'm just going to say something. We live in a world that slavery is still real. Can I get an amen out there, a witness out there? Did you know that slavery is real in many parts of the Middle East? Did you know that even in our own country of America, right here in Wilson, Wide Awake Wilson, I opened up the paper one time and saw where they had busted a sex slave trafficking ring right here in our own city. Please understand that there are people out there that are bent on doing you harm and ruining your life. And can I tell you may be listening by live stream, just by happenstance, hearing my message. Just let me remind you that Joseph himself was sold into slavery, and it was nothing pretty. It was in chains. The Bible speaks of those chains. It was in torture. I'm sure they tormented him. But how can you explain this? God, I thought I had a dream. God, I thought you had a plan, a wonderful plan for my life. Why am I in slavery? Can I tell you tonight, don't you ever give up on the dream. And I don't care if they sell you into slavery, use you into slavery. You just trust God, trust the dream, have a close encounter, because there's one place they can't get into you, and that's in your mind and in your heart. Unless you let them, you trust him, and he will bring you out of slavery. He will bring you out. He is the dream maker, the dream fulfiller. Some of you are like, well, you don't know what happened in my childhood. You don't know what happened when I was a little girl. You don't know how I was hurt, how I was abused, how I was disappointed. Can I tell you, that doesn't stop the dream. If anything, God can use it even greater. I'll tell you that God took him through that nightmare. And I want to say something by the Holy Ghost tonight. The nightmare is over. Tell somebody, the nightmare is over. You've been through it, but you're going to it, because God is going to give you a close encounter. And God is going to make the dream come true. Can you say amen tonight? And Joseph was very quickly, and I'll try to bring this to a close in the next few hours. Joseph was sold. We don't know what happened, but evidently he took it as good as he could. He was sold into Potiphar's house as a slave, but he worked hard and he proved himself. And he let God work in his life until Potiphar promoted him. Somebody say promotion. God can promote you no matter where you are. If you do what's right and be trustworthy and live a godly life. Now, if you're all the time complaining and all the time shirking your responsibilities, you're not going to get promoted to nothing, I guarantee you. But I promise you, God will promote you. And he was over Potiphar's house. He ran the staff. He ran the accounting. He did the mathematics. He took care. And the Bible says that because of Joseph's ingenuity, that Potiphar's business and his home exploded in growth. And by the way, that's what I want said of my store at Best Buy. I want us to be the number one in the district. Why? Because I want it to be said that when Ricky Nelms came to work, God blessed and God moved and God did a great thing in that. When you're at wherever you're at in the schoolhouse or whatever, listen, this message tonight is all a lot about business, a lot about the workplace. And I'm here to tell you, don't let your dream die in the workplace. Oh, on the contrary, God will promote you and advance you and use you if you don't lose sight of the dream. Amen. Well, I wish I could just stop there and say he went from there to the palace. No, still had some more nightmare left. And Potiphar's wife noticed that he was a quite handsome man. And Potiphar's wife, I'm sure, was an Egyptian beauty. And Potiphar's wife made herself available. Said, Joseph, I want to sleep with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world that's just like that. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that can kill the dream in your life, and that is sin. And I want you to be very, very careful when people try to proposition you, try to date you, try to talk to you. You better be careful. Because let me tell you something. You know, will God forgive? Sure, he'll forgive. But I want you to know that sometimes the damage can never be undone. When David's failed, the Bible says the sword of the Lord would never depart from your house in this world. And it never has to this day. There are consequences. And so Joseph was tempted. Somebody say the word tempted. And finally it came down to where it was just Joseph and Potiphar's wife were alone. Can I just tell you right here, women, don't be alone with men. Men, be careful when you're alone with women. I don't even like to be in the break room at Best Buy with a woman. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But I know how the devil is and I know what people say. Are you with me here tonight? The best way to not have something to happen is to prevent it from happening. Prevention is better than maintenance. I can tell you that now. So we just might as well. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I found a friend. No, you got somebody that's got something on the brain, something on the mind, and it ain't your friend. They're your friend until you tell them no. And then you'll see how close a friend they are. You know what? The word no will give you a greater yes every time. Help me preach here tonight. I'm telling you, you need to listen. You let the Lord bring somebody in your life. I could talk about Ray Meeks' daughter, Jennifer, who went to this church for 8 years. And I'm telling you, she was very picky over who she dated. She wanted a man of God. She wanted a man that would go to church. She wanted a man of integrity. She wanted a man. And I'll tell you what, for 8 years, we prayed for her and twice she had a heartbreak. And she was a beautiful girl, still is, beautiful young lady. And I want you to know, when I left the church, she still wasn't married. But not long after it, praise God, she found a man that owned Chick-fil-A. And I'll tell you right now, every time I see the sign, eat more chicken, I thank God bless Jennifer for waiting on the dream that God had in her life. Amen. Amen. There's a lot more I could say about that. But please understand, God has a plan for your life. And one of the things he has planned for all of our lives, unless he's given us the gift of celibacy, is a relationship. He planned for Ricky Nelms to be married. And God gave me Darnell. And he's planned for you to be married. If you're single tonight and you desire to be married, and you have a desire to be married, I promise you, just like God gives water for thirst, just like he gives food for hunger, he will give relationship to those who are single. Thy maker is thy husband. He loves you, but you must be careful and be wise and choose and trust the Lord if you want to see the dream come to pass in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. And all of you that are married, look at your spouse and say, you're my dream come true, baby. Amen. Hallelujah. Joseph was lied on. He fled. When she grabbed a hold of him, and I can only imagine that she probably wasn't very much clothed, and she grabbed a hold of him to pull him into that moment, you know what the Bible says he did? He ran for his life. It's hard to do. Hard to do. But I'm going to tell you what. He ran. And sometimes we need to flee. We just got to go the other way. And Potiphar's wife lied on him and said, this man tried to do something to me. And Potiphar threw him into prison. And here now, Joseph is an innocent man thrown into prison. I want to say something to you. Nothing will stop the dream. Even if you've been lied on, if you've been falsely accused, even if you've been wrong. People say, well, I was on the job and somebody lied on me and I didn't get the promotion and the other person did. You just wait on. You just hang on. And I've already seen it in my job already. I had one man that stood in my way. And I'm not telling you that this is a boasting thing, but I'm just telling you I was deserving of a certain position. And he held back. He wouldn't do it. He'd let this one do it, that one do it. And I was just as able and capable. And I just said, I wanted to get upset. I wanted to quit. I wanted to say, you know, take this job and bless it. Amen, you know. Y'all with me out there tonight? How dare they? And, you know, I'm an American and I can go down here. No. No, sir. I'm just going to trust the Lord. This is where God has me. And I went to work one day and the man was gone. Gone. Where's he gone? We don't know. He just left. Well, about 3 weeks later, I got the job. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm here to tell you. When people do you wrong, it don't stop the dream. Amen. When people lie on you, it don't stop the dream. And so Joseph was thrown into prison. And the Bible says that we don't know what happened, but the head of the prison, guess who he turned all those prisoners over to in the day-to-day operations? Joseph. Now, how did he go from being a prisoner to the prison keeper trusting him? I'll tell you how. The dream. The close encounters. I don't care where you find yourself. It may not be where you want to be, but God is there with you. And you can make a difference. And Joseph decided to make a difference. You know what happened? And I'm about to come to a close. I'm giving you fair warning so you won't think this is all night. They threw two men into the prison. One was a butler to Pharaoh. One was a baker to Pharaoh. They went to bed one night, had some dreams. And Joseph was doing his rounds, and he walked into the jail cell, and there was the butler and the baker, and they both looked like a lot of people look on Sunday morning. They looked very sad. Joseph looked at them and said, why do y'all look so sad today? Now, friends, stop right there. Joseph himself had been lied on. Joseph's brothers had turned him into slavery. Joseph was in a stinking prison. They were not very nice penitentiaries like we have here. But here's Joseph asking, why are y'all so sad? You know what that meant? That meant Joseph himself was happy. Did you know you can choose happiness? You may be in the hospital, but you can choose to be happy. Did you know if you're in a bad situation, you can choose your attitude? And Joseph said, I will choose my attitude. You know why he chose that? Because he knew the dream was still in effect and that God was going to bring it to pass in his time. Somebody say amen. Amen. They had two dreams. And Joseph, guess what? Joseph could interpret those dreams. And for those two men, one of them gave the dream. And Joseph interpreted it. He told one guy. He said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. The other guy, well, what about my dream? And Joseph said, I got bad news to tell you. In 3 days, you're going to be dead. Now, you may say that's bad news. Well, you know what? This is a whole chasing a rabbit here. But we as preachers, sometimes we got to tell people the good news. And sometimes we need to tell them the bad news. Well, let me tell you about the butler And let me tell you about the baker. If the butler and the baker had known Jesus, you'd have think the butler was doing better by living. But if the baker had known the Lord, and I just believe Joseph told him about salvation. I just believe Joseph said, Mr. Butler, you're going to die in 3 days. And I just believe Joseph didn't stop there. And it's not written in Scripture, but I said, Mr. Butler, you'll definitely be dead. But I'll tell you, you might not be restored to Pharaoh's throne, but you can be restored to heaven forever and ever. And you might not go see the king of this world, but you can go see the king of the next world. Friend, we've got good news to tell to the living and to the dying. Oh, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. If they've given you 6 months to live, or if they've told you you got a clean bill of health, it doesn't matter. It's all good news when you know the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Somebody say amen. So here's the deal. Guess what? Joseph said to the butler, don't forget me. And guess what the butler did? Forgot him. 2 years went by. Everybody say 2 years. And here was my final point. First point was the dream. Say amen. Second point was the nightmare. Say amen. And wouldn't you say that was a nightmare? Have I caught any of you in that nightmare? Sure. But now we close. Brother Clark, if you'll get ready to play. We come to the new day. Somebody say it's a new day. Oh, somebody say 24 hours can change everything. I'll let you know when to start, but thank you, my brother. I want you to know the dream is real. I want you to know sometimes the nightmare is long. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the devil tries that dream. But one day, Joseph, the new day, got a knock on his door and said, Joseph, yes, sir. Shave your beard and change your clothes. This is the dream moment. And Joseph, within 24 hours, was standing before Pharaoh, who himself, Pharaoh, had a bad dream. There's a lot about dreams in this story, isn't it? And Joseph said, Pharaoh, God's got an answer for your nightmare. In fact, God is the answer for your nightmare. You're going to have 7 good years and you're going to have 7 bad years. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, God will bring you through the 7 bad years so that when you come out of the 7 bad years, you'll say you were blessed going in and blessed coming out. I'll tell you, a man of God with the word of God can bring hope. I don't care how black the situation. I don't care if it's 7 years of famine. I don't care if it's 7 years of war or 7 years of depression. God's going to see you through. And you're coming out blessed and highly favored. It's a new day. Highly favored of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't give up on the dream. God's going to make it happen. I don't know what that dream is. God is a God that's going to make it happen. Don't let the devil tell you that you're forgotten. You're about to have close encounters. Somebody say close encounters. Look at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. You remember Joseph's brothers? Thought they were going to kill the dreamer? Well, guess what? They didn't. Joseph's brothers got caught in that famine. And they had to find food. And guess what? Who had food? Egypt. And why did Egypt have food? Because of Joseph. But really, why was there food in Egypt? Because of God. That's right. Using Joseph. And so Joseph's brothers come. Years have passed. Complexions have changed. The outward has changed. But Joseph wanted to know, has the inside changed? Long story short, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And I can imagine how scared they must have been. Here's a good point to say something here tonight, right here. Treat people right. Go out of your way to do people right. Because one day, you may have to face them. Don't ever get road rage in Wilson. Because as sure as you pass somebody on the way to church, they're going to come up and say, Brother Ricky, you passed me on the way to church. Ray and Julie, I passed him a couple of Sunday nights ago. I got to pray. Excuse me just a minute. I say that fun. Just treat people right. Even when people mistreat you, treat them better than they're treating you. And down the road, when they come to their senses, they're going to think, you know what? I wouldn't have ever treated me that way. And guess what you get to do? You get to be a witness. and say, it really wasn't me. I thought about knocking you upside the head. We're all human. Joseph's brothers said, we're your servants. We tried to kill your dream. You know what Joseph said? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, stand with me tonight. Stand with me. As for you, you thought evil against me. But what did it say? But God meant it for good. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Brother Clark, if you want to play softly. On May the 11th, 1996, his name was Domingo Pacho. He was Hispanic, I believe. Domingo, P-A-C-H-E-C-O, Pacho. May the 11th, 1996, he was on a tight schedule to catch his plane out of Miami. When the left rear tire of his Cadillac blew out on the Palmetto Expressway. For more than an hour, he sweated under the broiling Florida sun, changing the tire. But just as he finished changing the tire, he got a call on his cell phone back then. It was his mother. She said, son, where are you? He said, mother, I'm stuck on the freeway fixing a flat tire and I have missed my flight. She shouted, oh, thank God. Turn on your radio. The plane that you were going to be on just crashed in the Everglades. You see, Domingo had a ticket on Value Jet Flight 592. But he had a flat tire. Father, we thank you tonight for every good and perfect gift. We thank you that the dream is real tonight. Despite the flat tires, despite the bad bosses, despite what somebody has said or done, despite the nightmare, it's over. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Come on, lift your hands up and just praise Him tonight. Go ahead and sing. Oh, we bless you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Somebody thought the cross was a nightmare, but it turned out to fulfill the dream.
Fill my trouble.
Oh, I will claim
to